same dinim as Karen, but now we're wondering, well, where will we find what Rav Papa was talking about? So say Lav Kirtzik. That's the Gemara says, oh, we need to look somewhere new. Five lines from the bottom, and I told her to Karen, to Karen. No, it's not Karen. Karen is not the place to look. We need to look at some other corner of the world of Nezikin. Where, what was Rapapa referring to? Kika Ana Rapapa Shane Reno. What was Rapapa talking about? He was talking about Shane and Reno. Maybe it's in the world of Shane and Reno where we'll find a tolda, which is not Kayotsu Bar De'ab. I should mention as an aside, in case you're feeling like, well, come on, it's not going to be any different. In fact, it will be. In truth, when we get to Gimel Aveis, we're going to discover the real answer is Reno. We're not going to see it here just yet because there's a missing piece. But in fact, the real answer is Regel. But the Gemara, over the course of Gimel Aleph, is not going to discover any tolda that a Regel is Avkel. It's about only on Gimel Aleph. Let's see how the Gemara unpacks it. And the Gemara says, well, maybe it's changed Regel. So that we, once again, we go through this, as we saw earlier on Beis Mabeis, this Gemara is unusually methodical. The Gemara says, well, number one, how do we know? Changed Regel, Hei Chatzibi, where are they written? Again, this goes back to the very beginning of Beis Amal. With Rashi at the top of Beis Amal. An Av means it's in Chumash. So where's the Av? Hey, Chatzibi means let's identify the Av, and then we can identify the Tolda, and then we can ask ourselves, do the Av and the Tolda line up, Kyotzman, or are they Lav Kyotzman? So where's the Av? Shem Rav Hei Chatzibi. Pasuk in Chumash, Perek HaDalet, Pasuk Dalet, Perek HaBeis, Yitzvi, Pasuk Dalet. This is explaining Parsha Shmos. Parshas Mishpatim, Chumashmos, Parshas Mishpatim. Yavir Yishad of the Kerem, Vishilachas Biro, Uvier Bisteyacher. He, Vishilachas Biro, he sends his Biir, Biirain, and we know from elsewhere in Tanakh, Biir is an animal, usually a domestic farm animal. He sends his animal, Uvier, and it is Mivair Bisteyacher. Sounds like a play on words. Biir is an animal, but bi'er is a verb, like bi'er chametz. It destroys in someone else's field. The meitav sadeh, meitav kar mishalim. The Torah says, in those scenarios, v'shilach ez bi'er, v'ir v'zeacher, the halacha is, meitav sadeh, meitav kamo yishalim. You must pay, yishalim, and you have to pay with the grade A land, the finest of your fields, the finest of your vineyards. That was the day we already seen on Beis Amal from the Mishnah, that when you pay, you have to pay Megah. But what does all that mean? There's something with the animal. Be'iro is clearly an animal. Your animal is going to Sedeh Acher, as Rashi points out in the Pasuk. It's not Sedeh Acher, it's Sedeh Acher, the field of another. Not Sedeh Acher, another field. Sedeh Acher is the field of another person. Someone else's field. So your animal went into someone else's field and something happened. Clearly it was some sort of nether. But what exactly happened? It's very enigmatic. What does Mishilach mean? What does Uvir mean? What are all these verbs? We show the point that the Yerushalmi already looks at the beginning of the Pasuk. Ki yav er ish sadev acher. Which is that opening phrase is also mysterious. Yerushalmi already focuses on that and looking for Shem Regel. But the Bavli starts with the next phrase. The shilach is v'iro, uvir v'steyach. So what's the shilach, what's uvir? So the Bavli quotes a braisa. The shilach is regel, uvir is shem. The shilach is a regel, the shilach is regel. How do I know? A proof of the pasuk Yishayahu. The shalach is regel, ashor v'chamar. Okay. There you have a shiluach. And clearly a reference to not only regel, but regel of animals. Regel, ashor v'chamar. Good. Uvir is shem. I know that Uvir Bistayakha to destroy another field of shame. There are lots of types of destruction an animal can wreak. I know it has to do with eating. Just like the Golol would destroy Ad Tumo. Now, of course, the question is, before we even get to the Amamar, the Gemara is going to start to, on Gimel Gal, the Gemara is going to start to pick apart the logical flow of this bright. So before we even get to picking apart the logical flow, the first question we shall raise is, how do you read this? We want to prove that the shilach refers to regal, we want to prove that biur refers to shame. So that shiluach applies to regal. That was a pretty clear right from the pasuk, right? Mishal hey regal shar v'chama parsin yishayahu paraglam beis. Very clear shiluach regal. But how do you prove that the beer is shame? So we quote a pasuk from Malachim. What did the pasuk tell me? It doesn't say anything about it. It said beer. It doesn't say anything about shame. And she found out galal ad tumo. We saw the Rishonim raise three options in terms of how that's somehow that galal that's being mevayer ad tumo until extinction, until it's all ended, is somehow clearly the Bryce understood, the Tanakh understood that that's a reference to shame. It didn't say shame. So how do you know? So Rav Yisrael Rashi and Tosfos both get involved in that. Tosfos quotes the Beit Hanan. Indeed, if you look on Gimel Aleph in the margin, you can find the Beit Hanan inside. Beit Hanan says, Golol is based on the Psukim, the Aramaic Psukim and Sefer Ezra. Ezra and Daniel both have chunks, seven prokhamits that are Aramaic. So then we talk about what in Hebrew referred to as shayish, in Aramaic is referred to as golem. So that is marble. Marble is golem is Aramaic for marble. So lose your marbles. So in English, to lose your marbles are a idiomatic reference to your mind. Lose your marbles, lose your brain. Lose your rational thought. But Rabbi Ha'al points out a better simile is that your teeth are like marbles, because they actually are hopefully white. Like marble is often white. Not all marble is white, but plenty of marble is white or light. So off white. So that's what Rabbi Ha'al already says. Ukim the Bashan the Pink Hashem Vara Go Pirish Hashem, which is domal evan golem. It's like marbles. You have pieces of marbles in your mouth. Like the tooth, it's a poetic way of saying the truth. Why so poetic? I didn't have to say shame. The truth is, if you look in the source, it is a poetic nevuah. Yerubam was the first king of Malchus Yisrael. He, with the passing of Shlomo, the Navi already told Shlomo HaMelech, that he was, his father, David HaMelech, had succeeded in uniting all of the 12 Shvatim into a single united kingdom. The Navi tells Shlomo, your father did that, he was able to do that, but you, because of your sins, that's going to be undone. In the schus of your father, David, the Navi tells Shlomo, it's not going to happen in your own lifetime, even though it sounds like you personally deserve for the Malchus to partially dissolve under you, but you will maintain to reign over the entire kingdom in the source of your father. David shouldn't happen to his own son, but your son, the Navi tells Shlomo, your son Rechavam, when you pass away, he takes over, he will not be king over the entire united kingdom of all Tal Shvatim. He's only going to have Malchus Yehuda. Malchus Yisrael will revert to being a separate country with a different king. And Kachavam, the Navi actually appoints Yerubam to be the king of Malchus Yisrael. Yerubam has to run away to Mitzrayim for a while. He comes back when things calm down and takes control over the northern kingdom. Most of Eretz Yisrael, most of the Shvatim, are ruled not by Rechavam, but by Yerubam. That scenario, that situation continues for centuries until finally Sancheriv comes, the Sancheriv, the other, a series of emperors of Ashur come and attack and finally dissolve the northern kingdom and take them away. Sancheriv comes, Melech Ashur tries to destroy Malchus Yehuda as well, and comes very close. And Navi Yishai tells Chizkiyahu, don't worry, he destroyed most of Malchus Yehuda, Yerushalayim will stand, and indeed it does. Yerushalayim stands and continues to stand for a very long time until finally Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel comes and does sack Yerushalayim. But until the fall of Malchus Yisrael, there are two separate kingdoms, and that's as the Navi had told Shlomo, that after you, it's no longer going to be a united kingdom. Yerubam had been apparently a tzaddik. I think we discussed this earlier in the year, that remarkable got it in Perikalim. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was described as telling Yerubam, if you do tshuva, you and David HaMelech can walk together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Gan Eden, whatever that means, clearly a very unusually high madrega in Gan Eden. He had been appointed to be the alternative king of Pal Yisrael. It did not work out well. He became an incredible Rasha, in large part because the desire power corrupted him, and the desire for absolute power corrupted him very, very profoundly. And he introduced Avodah Zarah into the Northern Kingdom as a form of political manipulation. Marx was incorrect that true religion is opium of the masses. But he was correct that false religion can be an opium of the masses, and Yeravam is a prime example. He introduced Avodah Zarah in order to keep the people distracted, in order to keep them under control. And it goes from bad to worse. So if you looked at the Pasuk, perhaps you did, I would assume you did, I'm trying to hear you, I want to look and see what the Mishnah were saying on the Pasuk in Malachim. So it's Eshes Yeravam, Yeravam's queen, comes to Achiah HaShiloni, who was a great Nevi'im, to reach out for some support. But she comes pretending that she's someone else. When Achiah is told by Kadosh Baruch Hu, the woman who's come to see that's Yeravam's wife, you tell her that they've passed the point of no return, and your family is destined to be obliterated. Every single member of your family is gonna die. All human beings eventually die, but every member of your family is gonna die in a way that the whole family will be ended. The dynasty will certainly be ended. Kasher yiva'er hagalol ad tumo. Like galol, whatever that means, kasher yiva'er hagalol, that would be destroyed ad tumo, to the end. Total obliteration. So that's the pasuk that we're using. So the fact that we're using the poetic terms instead of just saying tooth or saying marble, okay, so in context, it is a poetic nebuah. It seems appropriate. It also gives us a sense, we'll come back to the significance of that context as we get into Gimel Abanah. But first, let's take a look at Rashi, and then we'll take some questions also. Rashi says, Tosis, on days of Tom, days of days, the Masul Kashi, he's supposed to be a banana. The Golol is marble, which is a poetic simile for a tooth. Okay, so there you have it. Kashi, Ivar HaGolol, that's Beer, and that's Shane. And there you go. Mishal Chayrego, Ivar HaGolol, Beer, Shane, we're good to go. Rashi has two other approaches.
That's Rashi.
Rashi on top of Gimel Aleph says, does not go very far at all. He gives two other approaches. Either Hayu Shane Shepa'alim Megule or Pa'alim Mechuse. Maybe Shane Galal means two. Not that Galal means marble, which is poetically used as a metaphor or a simile for two. Galal means two. How does Galal mean two? Who ever heard of that? Not based on the Aramaic Galal, based on the Hebrew Gimel Lamed Hey, Legalos, to reveal. The tooth of the part of the body that's only sometimes visible. The kashay varagol, like that which is sometimes visible, will destroy. Okay, so the Rashi says, if galal means chain, the verb is yivaer, so that's the ride that we needed, that in Mishpatim as well, biur could be a reference to chain. Lishnach, here's another pshat. Gol zerei. Gol is a reference to feces. A tooth is the beginning of the digestive process of food. You begin with chewing, and the breakdown, the salivary begins to break the food down. Obviously, you know that the end of that process is Nasa's Golol. That line of the Rashi, he's giving a proof text. How do we know that the word Golol could mean soa, could mean feces? So there you find the language of the Mishnah. Truth is, you find the language of the Tanakh as well. One of the most common references to Avodah Zarah over the course of Chumash is Giluleihem. That literally means excrement. It's a derisive term for Avodah Zarah. And that's what we say the Galal here means as well. It's a term that's used in Biblical Hebrew, Giluleihem. It's used in Mishnaic Hebrew, Galalei Adam, Galalei Behema. And so Rashi says, that's the kashay va'er ha'galol ad tumo. And the question is, what happened to the tooth? So other Rishon point out, they mean, in that case, galol is not the missing word, the Rishon point out. Kashay va'er, as it is mevaer, galol ad tumo, until the point of being Gala. We're missing the doer, the subject of the verb. And the Rishonim point out, Rabbeinu Peretz points out, that happens not infrequently. Other places have also where you'll have a verb, you won't say who's doing it. It's understood. Kasha Yikra, he will call. Whoever's doing the calling, he was calling. That's the way Hebrew works. You can build in the him or the her into the verb itself. Kasha Yivaer, and it is Mivaer, Galo Atimo, to the point of Galo, where it's totally destroyed, totally digested. If you look in the second Pshat, Rashi obviously is not as charming. But if you look in Rishonim, it would be kedai to open up. You have the three of Machlokes Rishonim essentially here how to interpret a pasuk in Malachim. So it would make sense to open a Malachim and take a look. Open a Malachim and take a look, and you see that most Rishonim take the approach of the second Lushna Achirina in Rashi. Rashi himself on Malachim, it corresponds to the second approach in Rashi here, that it refers to excrement, and says several other Rishonim do as well. The Radak actually says, Radak quotes the Gemara. Radak says, Amar Rav Hoseinu, Galal Zeh Hashem. And he goes, what does that mean? So first he quotes the Rav Hanal, doesn't quote Rav Hanal by name, but quotes that approach, that has the pasuk from Daniel, that Galal means marble, and then he says, Yesh Refoshim, that it's so on. Okay. The first approach in Rashi doesn't really get quoted. We understand why, because we never, number one, Galal doesn't sound like Yiwa, a different Shorish. And also, we never before heard that a tooth is referred to as something which is Ba'am and Megula. It is Ba'am and Megula, but if anything, it's sort of ironic. You would think that if you want to say something is revealed, you're talking about things that's always revealed. Teeth are only sometimes revealed. So it'd be sort of ironic to call it the revealed part. It's actually the occasionally revealed part. Right? There's halachic relevance, as an aside, with vows, to parts of the body being totally revealed versus sometimes revealed versus never revealed in terms of mikvah. But Rashi presents it, we understand why Rashi presents it in Lashon Achirina, and indeed in the Mefarshim on Malachim, they quote the Lashon Achirina, but not the first approach. Yeah, we will come back to the context as well of the Rambam. Also, part of what's attractive about the second approach of Rashi is it's not so charming, and Achia Shiloni was not trying to be charming with Eishes Rav. That was the point. He's very, 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 very blunt with her, incredibly blunt. He already spoke about excrement earlier in the pasuk, even in terms of the parallels of biblical poetry. He spoke about urine, and then he talks about excrement. In the context of the pasuk, it's actually the most obvious likely approach. If you look in Malachim, you understand well why you would want to say the Lishna Achrina of Rashi, and then we'll see the next piece of Gemara also may have references back to this pasuk. No, you've been waiting very, very patiently.
So all the way back to the pasuk. Yeah. Rashi translates the beginning of the pasuk. Kiaver ishta del cherem is when a person sends out his animals into a field or vineyard. And then v'shilachas be'iro seems to be exactly the same thing.
Oh, good. So then how do you understand, I let my animal go, so v'shilach means I sent the animal. So isn't that repetitive? So the truth is, I think that's a great point, and I think, as a matter of fact, that maybe gives us insight into this brisa. That's right, v'shilach has to be more than just the animal went somewhere. So what the brisa is machadesh, v'shilach doesn't mean getting to the event. V'shilach is the event. I love my animal's room. So that's the average. I love my animals out of my property, I was irresponsible, I let them just leave. What happened? V'shilach is b'iro doesn't mean they went somewhere. Shilach b'iro means when they got there, they walked on stuff. That's regel. Regel isn't travel. Regel is the damage itself. The animal keeps walking, and now, before the animal was just walking down the street out of my field into someone else's field. And then he continues to walk even when the things that he's walking on are soft and valuable. Even when he's walking on the dirt, so he's not doing any damage. But when he's walking on the flowers, when he's trampling on the young bush that gets broken by his feet, or he tramples on the, I don't know, whatever it was, the animal goes trampling on the watermelons that are growing on the ground, the watermelons growing on a vine, and this my pet buffalo went trampling through someone else's watermelon farm and crushed them all, that's no longer just traveling somewhere else, as it's trying to do again. So, Lechora, that's, I think that's, I think you pointed that well, that sets us up for the Brisa. And that they also respond, I said before, the Rishon pointed out, the Rishon already looks at the first phrase, Yav Rishon and Karim, as Shana Rego, the Balbi doesn't. So maybe what you were saying is that Rashi is explaining why. For the Balbi, Yav Rishon and Karim is the fact that I let my animal go. That was problem number one. I was not sure where my animal. What ended up happening is that either Vashilach or Revir in a different form. They got there, it either trampled or it actually chomped. Yeah.
But the Gemara says that there's no difference between Shalach Shulcha and Adam Mamela. So how could you say that? The Pasuk is referring to both scenarios and the Gemara actually says that there's no difference between them.
No. There are two stages. The first stage is that I was irresponsible to my animal. Either I sent it or allowed it to leave. If I have an animal, if I have property that could cause damage, I have a chiyuv.
Right, but
to take care of it and to keep it under.
Rega loshna shelcha shluche loshna the azam amela, meaning that the whether or not it went by itself or you sent it, that the outcome
okay.
is the same and that you're chayav in the same way.
Okay. I allowed it to go.
So then
I shouldn't have allowed it. I should have kept the lock. If I know that my animal has an affinity for your for my neighbor's cabbage patch. So I should not allow my animal to wander. I should lock it up.
Does the pasuk refer to both categories if there's no practical difference between them?
Well, let's when we get to that Gemara, let's see. But right now, Kiyavarish is not even that. Kiyavarish is the initial stage. Again, either, yeah, I gave my animal a slap and sent it out into the beyond my property, or I just allowed it to leave on its own. Now, either way, you're hot. Sure. When we get to the Shilach, we'll see how that's a reference to the actual Nezek of Rego. What we're pointing out now is Yavar Ish is the stage one. Stage one is the fact that my animal is AWOL, my animal is off my property, and then stage two is Mashiach Bavir, that it subsequently, while it's off campus, it actually gets into trouble and does some sort of damage, either Shane or Rego. How do we know Rego? Because you see in the Pasuk in Yeshayim, Shatarek al Shabbat Hamor, that Shiluach can be a reference to Rego. And how do you know Shane? Because you see from this Pasuk in Malachim, the Nebuah of Achiah Shimoni, that the term Ubir can be a reference specifically to Shane. Again, because the Pasuk talks about beer and Galo, and either Galo refers to a tooth in the Aramaic sense because it's marble, or refers to a tooth in the Hebrew sense because it's sometimes Magula, or it's not actually, that's not the tooth. Galal is the output of the digestion. Kashayir ba'er, but beer clearly means digestion because what it's producing is galal. So obviously beer means to chew and eat as well. Yeah?
Didn't
we
say in
one of the
days like, that that we know that Shane is from like, from being revealed by the tooth of Esau.
By the.
But do we say by? Do we say how Shane we see Shane from being the
Mother. Mother. Ah.
Or Mother. Right.
Right. How you know Mother? Nivu Matzkuna. That pasuk in Ovadia.
Right.
Yeah. Ah. Oh, very good. So you're saying over there, we do refer to the Shane. As being revealed. So you're saying, Taka, that you're saying, I was saying before, the difficulty in Rashi's first child make, the taste even referred to as revealed, saying, what I mean? That's the pasuk, that's a very good point. That's a very, very good point. That's Shekhar, that's a very good point. The one thing I would say, and perhaps that's the, but you're right, that's probably the basis for Rashi's first child. At the same time, the pushback I would say is there, it's Nivu Matspunav. The hidden thing, matzpun, is something which is hidden, like safna spanev, safun, by the Seder. Nivu Matmud, the hidden things were revealed, and that's what Rav Yosef is metargeting about Gilgal. Right? It's Galyan Matmarohi. So the passage uses both. Something which hidden and then revealed, that's a reference to shame. But here it's just revealed. So here it's a little more difficult to say that you would call a tooth the thing which is revealed. To say that tooth is something which is hidden and then revealed, that's Kabbalah. Nivu Matzpuna. So if there was, a pair of terms, it was the Safun Golol, that's a home run. That's the easy reference to shame. But just Golol alone, yes, on the one hand you have the echo of Gimel and Beis, on the other hand, it's not the same context. You're right, but maybe that's part of the back and forth between the Lishna Kam and Lishna Kam. Okay. Let's at least take a peek in the next few minutes at the beginning of the next Gemara, and let's get a sense at least of what some of the questions might be. Solutions will wait for tomorrow. Oh, Mama! The Gemara said, okay, we had a Braisa. The Braisa did demonstrate that this Pasuk Perikot Beis, Pasuk Zalim, Parshat Mishpatim is a reference to both Shein and Regel, so that's how we know Shein and Regel are not. The Pasuk and Mishpatim, okay. But now let's think about the way in which we demonstrated that Vishilach is Regel and that Dubir is Shein. Yeah, Vishilach Zor Regel, the Chayin of Omer, Mishalchin Regel, Ashar V'chamar, was it really necessary? Time in the Kasra, Chamar, Mishalchin Regel, Ashar V'chamar. The Braisa implies that we need that Pasuk in Yeshaya to demonstrate and prove that Vishilach is Regel, otherwise I would have assumed some other interpretation of Vishilach. What else would I have assumed? How else would you interpreted Vashiach? Isn't Vashiach anyways? It's kind of like sending it, it's going, it's traveling. Doesn't that sound like Regal anyways? Something's happening while it's traveling. Especially in light of what Noah pointed out, that Kiyam Rishon Vakarim, the way Rashi Al-Chumash says, is already talking about the animal traveling to the site of the damage. So this Vashiach must mean it continues to walk and damage. That's what it sounds like. So what do you need the Pasuk Yeshayah for? How else would I have interpreted? The Gemara says, and not only how else would I have interpreted, isn't that the most logical, but nothing else even left. Process of elimination. He carried Ksiv, he shanks it. We have a pasuk for Karen, play a pasuk for Karen. You have Uvir for Shane, so it must be that Nevashilach is Rebbe. So you might say, well, no. Because Sagadai Techamini, Sagadai Techamina, either Yidia Shane. I could have said they're both Shane. If I don't demonstrate that the term itself is regulish, which we demonstrate in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, but just another term, another blank placeholder for some nezek or another, I could have said I have two terms both referring to shame. Why? Well, isn't that superfluous? No. Because there are two different flavors of shame. The shame that destroys the thing itself, and the shame that does not destroy the thing itself. Karna, it's a little bit confusing. We use the word karen to mean literally a horn, but in this context, karna means the principle. Like we talk about karen and kefil, or karen v'chonesh. The thing itself is called the karen. Sometimes we call the thing itself an etzem, a bone, but we use it metaphorically to mean the thing itself. Ani biatzmi, I myself. Sometimes you can use the term karen to mean the thing itself. Especially when you're talking about property. Karen means the thing itself. So Mechali Karim means the thing itself, the principle is destroyed. Lo Mechali Karim means there was some damage done, but the principle itself is not destroyed. Kamashvah, that's why I would have thought Kamashvah or not. If I didn't have the reason why the Brisa needs to prove to me from a Pasuk Yeshayahu that Vashilach is a reference to Regal, because otherwise I would have said, I wouldn't have proven that the word Vashilach is regalish. I would have said that both Vashilach and Rubir are talking about Shein. What I have two verbs? Mechali Karim and Mechali Karim. Which opens up a number of questions. Question number one is, what on earth is Mechali Karim? Or, more precisely, what on earth is Lo Mechali Karim? I mean, when you eat something, it's gone. As we just said before. Kashivar Agol Atumo. You eat something, and then it's gone. So, right, it ate it, and then spat it back out. What does this mean exactly? How do you eat something and not destroy it? Just shoot it a little bit. Maybe it goes back. Right, Rashi told us we're going to work on what does it even mean, Lo Mechali Karim. Problem number two is why should it matter? If I punch you in the nose, your nose still works, but it hurts. It's broken. But I can pay. Not just sour, does it? I understand. If the fire didn't destroy the house entirely, but the house is charred, so I don't have to pay? Of course I have to pay. Problem number one is, what is Machal Yekarna? First, how do you define Machal Yekarna? Problem two is, why would it matter? Logically, I would have assumed I need two psukim for shame. Why would I have assumed that? And then problem number three, which the Gemara is going to take up, is if indeed they're really distinct, so then once you don't have two psukim, because one of the psukim is for regel, so then how indeed do I know that shame is chayav even by lo machal yekarna? So those and other problems we will deal with in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.